right now there's so much, so many things that people are stressed out. Yeah. They're nervous. Brother Barry preached us a real good message about that 2 or 3 weeks ago about anxiety and stress, and we've all got a dose of it lately. If you've never had any trouble with your nerves before, you've probably had some lately, because there's so much going on to worry us. But I'm so thankful. I look around, even my family has changed so much. Pray for my family, the things going on in my family, but this whole world's changed so much in the last few months. But I'm so thankful that we have something that's stable, that will never change. He's the same today as he'll be tomorrow. Now, he's the same today as he was yesterday. I'm thankful for that, that the God of heaven will never change. And I pray that we'd not ever forget that. Y'all follow the Lord today. Try to do what he'd have you to do. We can only not be Hilltop Church for so long. I mean, we can still social distance and have altar prayer. We done it a while ago. We can still testify. We can still do all the things that we do in there. We may have to do them a little different, but we can still do it. So we can still hug one another, maybe not physically, but my arms have been wrapped around so many of y'all, and y'all may have, I pray some of you felt it when I prayed for you. And when I was awake at night, my arms was reaching out to hug you. And Jesus' arms is reaching out to hug us today. If nothing else, I want to try to take a reading lesson. Y'all pray for us. This is something been on my heart for a couple months, I guess, and me and Brother Marty have been on the same page so much here lately. It's just been unreal. And I think God will lay things upon her heart. And I don't believe he just gives it to Dusty. I believe he'd give it to Larry too. And Matt, me and Marty and all of us. But he mentioned, I think it was last week, a scripture. And I was sure hoping he wasn't going to get into it very much. Because he's had the first shot at all the messages lately before me. I'm thankful that he didn't get into this very much. And so, y'all pray for us. I don't know what to name it. Brother Larry, sometimes he names them. Sometimes I do. I pray to God to name them. It may be before it's done, y'all call it a mess. But I pray that we can bring us together somehow, the Lord's help. I want to take a reading lesson from Genesis chapter 3. We find where Adam had eaten the fruit of the tree of good and evil. His wife had gave him to the fruit, and she had ate of it. We find where the serpent had beguiled the woman, or deceived the woman, and she ate of it. And I've said this over and over, and don't ever think you're going to get away with sin. Amen. There's always going to be a price for sin. You say, well, Brother Jeff, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, I know. I believe that if you've been saved. But there's still going to be a price for sin. We'll pay for the things we've done here upon earth. As we walk upon earth, he'll remind you and he'll let you know what you're getting whooped for. Right. And I want you to realize there's always going to be a price for the things you do. And we find it here. And you say, well, that's not scriptural. Yeah, it is. I'm fixing to read it to you. I'm fixing to read the price that each one had to pay for what they done in this sin. And so we're going to start reading in the 14th verse. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou hast cursed above the cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon the belly thou shalt, upon thy belly thou shalt, go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. And I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and I shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Right. And to the woman he said, now that was the punishment unto the serpent, And this is unto the woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now he's going to tell Adam the price he's going to pay for the sin he's committed, not later on, but right here upon this earth, and this come down to all of us. And he said unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And when mistakes we made reading, that's down to from the 14th to the 19th verse in the third chapter, and we find where the serpent had to crawl upon his belly, like those snakes that we see still today, crawling upon their belly, and they eat the dust of the earth for his part in this, which represented the old devil. We find the woman giving birth. She would suffer that, and her husband would rule over her all the days because what she had done. And unto Adam, he said that he would eat of the earth, and it would bring forth thorns and thistles, and that's where my thought is today. I mentioned a couple months ago when we first went back in the building about the thorns and how they represent sin. And I want you to realize today, because the sin that Adam commit, that's come on through down through time. Now we still see thistles and thorns all around us here today. We see them in a physical sense, and we see it in a sinful sense. And you might want to say that this sermon might direct it and talk about it being called the fruits of sin, because listen to me, there's fruits of the Spirit, there's fruts of the Holy Spirit of God, and there's me and you to bring forth fruits, but also there's fruits of sin, and these fruits come through sin. We find that those thorns and thistles, and we still deal with them today. We still deal with sin today because of that. But I want us to look at that fruit a little bit more until we get to where our thought is, and that we might be able to see where I'm coming from with this. You go over in Matthew chapter 7, and like I said, we may have to do a little bit of reading today, but I don't want to just tell y'all this and expect y'all to believe it. I want to read it to you out of the Word of God. That will stand forever. What I say don't mean much, but the Word of God will stand forever. Listen, it says in the 16th verse, you shall know them by their fruits. It's talking about false prophets here. Listen, it says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Listen, he said you can't get good fruit from a thorn. You can't get a good fruit from a thistle. And that's what that was what brought forth the evil. When Adam sinned, he said, because of that, there'd be thorns and thistles. And I want you to know that's where this comes from. That's the fruit of sin. Listen to me. It was a sin that Adam committed, and that brought this about. He said, even so, every good tree bringeth forth a good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. I'm going to tell you, y'all heard me say this. I had a hard time with that for a long time. I did. I got saved when I was 14 years old, and I believe I'd been a sinner up to then. I'd done things that would make you ashamed of me today. But listen to me. I done a lot more after I was saved. I got saved when I was 14, and I done a lot of things that people would say, that's evil fruit. But listen to me. What that is
talking about ain't this old flesh, but it's talking about a man's soul. It cannot bring forth no evil fruit. It can't do it. This body may bring forth some things that you won't be pleasing unto God, but my soul never will. All you'll get is good fruit from it. And let me tell you something. An evil tree or a soul that ain't been saved can do nothing that will please God. That's what it's talking about in Matthew 25 over there. When he says, when they ask the question, Lord, when did we not come unto thee? When did we not go visit the sick? When did we not do all these things? You will never make me believe that those people never done nothing good in the flesh. But I want you to know God never recognized it, because he's looking at the soul of man, the real man, the tree of man. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. It can't. My soul cannot sin. It is sealed to the day of redemption. Listen. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I want you to know, over Paul said in Romans chapter 8, the carnal mind is empty against God. And I want you to know, there's nothing he can do to please God. I want you to know, if you've never been saved by God's grace, there's nothing you can do to please God but repent and put your trust in Jesus. That's the only thing you can do. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is here. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, listen, this is what I'm talking about. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's nothing you can do to please God in the flesh. You've got to be in the spirit. You must be born again to be able to do that. So, he's talking about the fruits here of sin being thistles and thorns. That's what people's going to bring forth. Let's go over here to Hebrew letter now. Over here in the 6th chapter and the 8th verse, it says, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is dying to cursing, whose end is to be burned. I want you to realize, honey, the ones that bring forth thorns and thistles and those type of things will be burned. I want you to know, you need to have good fruit. Listen to me, lost person today. You can't live good enough to go to heaven. There ain't nothing you can do will be good enough to get to heaven. God will not even recognize it. But listen to me, you can still repent and put your trust in a Savior and be saved by God's grace. And then you'll be able to bring forth fruits. Now, I said all this to get to a point that we might understand how the thorns represent sin. I made that statement a couple of months ago here. Listen to me. Thorns represent sin. And I want you to know how every one of us are sinners. Our righteousness are in filthy rags in the sight of God. But there are some of us, our souls have been saved, and that part's been cleaned up. But the rest of us, our flesh and everything, it still looks the same as it did when I was 14 years old. I may have gray hair. I may have wrinkles. I may have changed physically. But listen to me, my soul is still the same. It's not a day older, and it won't get no older. It's going to live forever. It was born again. There'll be no end to it. Now, I want to read the scripture that I'm so glad. I appreciate Brother Marty following the Lord, because Brother Marty got to preach on the lily of the valley last week, and I and the Lord had took it away from me. It wasn't because I've already preached on it, but it done went away from me. I had to preach on something different. But listen, that second verse there was the one that was weighing on me for a while, and I was sure praying when he mentioned it. He wasn't going to say much about it. But he says, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Listen to me. It says, a lily among thorns. I want you to know Jesus Christ stood out in this world. He is the lily of the valley. Now, listen to me. When he come here, there was never nobody that ever been like him. Right here today, if he come here today and saved people all around, there would be nothing that would stand out like him. When we get to heaven, he's going to be so bright that the sun won't even be needed there. He's going to shine out in such a way. Listen to me. He is a lily among thorns. He come. I gave his life for a lost and dying world. He come and died for sinners like you and me. He come and gave it all for us. A lily among thorns. So is my love among my daughters. Listen, his love, honey, will outshine. You can't drown out his love. I want you to know that today. So he came and he walked upon this earth. He come and he lived a perfect life here upon this earth for 33 and a half years. He walked among thorns. He walked among sinners. He was slurred over that. He said this man hangs out with publicans and sinners. He was brought down because of that. Listen to me. He was a lily among thorns. Now I want to slow down. I asked you to pray for me. I made mention of this. I'd read over it 1,000 times, I guess. Never had really paid no attention to it. You ever do that? Matthew chapter 27. In the 27th verse, it says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him. We see these pictures of Christ on a cross and him with long blondish brown hair and blue eyes and some kind of little diaper or thing that's been made. I want you to know he hung there naked. He had no clothes on him. He was hung there for our shame. Can you imagine hanging there on a cross for the whole world to see naked? They stripped him and put on a scarlet robe and they took that away, trust me. This was the mocking. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed is upon his and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail the King of Jews. And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote the head. I want you to realize. I was here a couple months ago and I told y'all about it. And I knew I was going to have to preach on it someday, whether it be here or somewhere. But listen to me. They took and planted. They put together a crown of thorns that I want you to know that represented the sins of the world. And they took that and they placed it upon his head. And they pushed it down and it dug into him deep. And that wasn't good enough. Then they took a stick and they smote him on the head and drove them into him. I want you to know those thorns represented me and you. They represented the sin of the whole world. And I want you to know they said they mocked him and called him the King of the Jews. But I want you to realize, and I ain't saying he's a king of sin. No way. But honey, he's our king. Sinners, our thorns, our lily among thorns. He is our king. And he was crowned. I preached that sermon on the cup and how he took our cup. And then we got the cup. David said, my cup runneth over. David said, I'll take the cup of salvation. Listen to me. He took our sins and they was placed upon his head. And then drove in. They done it to mock him. But everything in the Bible was a picture. Everything. And it was a picture of what happened there in the garden when Adam sinned and the Lord said, I'll bring forth thorns and thistles. And you'll have to deal with this all your life. Every one of us has had to deal with sin ever since. But I want you to know that day, the antidote was gave. And it was placed upon his head. And I want you to know he was able to receive that. He was a lamb before the slaughter. He was able to receive it when no other man could. When all sacrifices had been took away and wasn't able to do nothing, Jesus was able to take our sins. He's able to take yours. When he took that cup, he took your sins. He took your pain. When he took that crown upon his head, listen to me. It was placed on there. It was placed by mankind. Every one of us. Just like the spikes was nailed in his hands and his feet, we might as well have been there and done it. We're guilty. We're just as guilty as Adam. We come forth from our mother's womb telling lies. We was conceived in sin because we're the seed of Adam. And we're just as guilty. Paul told Timothy, Second Timothy in the 4th chapter. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto them that unto all of them also that love his appearing. He got a crown of thorns that was drove upon his head, and we get a crown of righteousness. It says all them that love his appearing. I'm going to tell you, only those that are saved is going to love his appearing. When that eastern sky busts is wide open, the lost is going to cry for the rocks of the mountains to hide them from the face of the one that sits upon the throne. But honey, us that are saved, our eyes going to raise up to our eastern sky, and we're going to look and we're going to see how that righteous one come on a cloud. And I want you to know we're going to love his appearing. I've talked about it different times. I preached that deacon's wife funeral up Rocky Mound, and she wanted to be buried there at the back of the graveyard. And she said during the resurrection that she could raise up and look at a pond there on their farm. She wanted to be able to see that pond as she was resurrected. I want you to know I preached the funeral and I told the family and all that was in the hearing, she wasn't going to look at that pond. I want you to realize and that day come, when she comes out of that grave, her eyes was going to be fastened on the Son of God. She wasn't going to look at that dead pool of water. It had never done nothing for her. But honey, she was going to love his appearing. David said, I'll be thankful when I awake in thy likeness. Honey, I want you to know we're going to be satisfied when we are changed in his likeness. And we're going to receive a crown of righteousness. Why? Because he received a crown of thorns. It was placed upon him. Our King. James put it like this, and I'm going to be done. 1:12, he said, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Do you love the Lord today? Are you thankful that he took your cup and drunk it? Are you thankful that your cup gets to runneth over? Mine's run over a little bit this morning. It has. Are you thankful that your cup runneth over with goodness and mercy? Will follow you all the days of your life. Are you thankful? That's what David's saying. He said, I'll take the cup of salvation. And I'll pay my vows in the presence of all his people. Some of y'all done that there this morning out here in the parking lot. And you will receive a crown of righteousness. Are you thankful that he took a crown of thorns that you could have a crown of righteousness? Who else would do that but Jesus? Who else would be mocked? Who else would be run down? Who else could do it but Jesus? He told them over there, the queen of the south, Sheba, she come to see Solomon. She'd heard of Solomon and all of his glory. So she come to see it for herself. She said the half hadn't been told. Jesus told him, said the queen of the south shall rise again. And how she come to see Solomon and hear of all his wisdom. And he said, there's a greater one than him that's with you. I want you to know there's never been a man that spake of this man. A man, a lily among thorns that came. It was a beautiful picture of the Son of God. I believe everything, it wasn't nothing about his physically body that we desire. But I believe he stood out among all men. Nicodemus said, we know us now, our prophet, no man can do these miracles unless God be with him. I want you to know he stood out among thorns. But yet he took the thorns for you and me. That means something to me today. Lost person, if you're here today, Jesus, those crown of thorns was placed on his head for you. That represented your sins. But I want you to know because of that, he went to the cross and he gave up the ghost. And the Bible says the veil was rent and there was access made to God. Now, no longer do we need a high priest. He is our high priest. The goal to God. We go through Jesus being our mediator. The one that took on the thorns. I'm thankful today. I thank you for listening to me. I pray somebody got something out of this message. I know this may not be something to do with the coronavirus. This may not have nothing to do with what you say with the day situations. I think it has all to do with the day situations. I think all the mess we look around and see us today was those thorns, was brought upon Adam because what he done it. He said, because you didn't listen to me and you eat of the tree and you kept not the commandment that I gave you. Because of that, there will be thorns and thistles. And he always had to deal with it, and we're still dealing with it today. That's my message. I'll turn it back over to the brother Josh in the building. And I pray someday I can call him Brother Josh. I'm looking for that day that I can call him Brother Josh. Son, you can be saved in there in that building right now. You can be saved in your car right now. You can be saved in your truck right now. You can be saved up here on this tent right now. You can be saved anywhere that you realize it was you that put Jesus on the cross. It was you that took and beat those crown of thorns down on his head. It was you that nailed the spikes in his hand. It was you that nailed the spikes in his feet. It was you. It was the sins that are upon you that he took. And you can be saved today. What good news. Because he was willing to take it. And he was able to take it. You can be saved today. So if you're a sound of my voice today, seek the Lord. Seek him till you find him, that you might be able to bring forth fruit that be able to please the Lord. That's my message.